My name is Jill Coyle, and from years of experience as a divorce attorney, I know for a fact that no one dies from divorce. The experts and I are here to show you how to not only survive, but thrive during the most difficult times.
Welcome to another episode of No One Dies from Divorce. I'm so excited for my guest today, Naja Hall. Welcome to the show. Oh my gosh, we've been chatting before the show. We have a lot in common, and I'm really excited for this. She is called the VIP Stepmom, and we're going to talk all things. So I want to introduce everybody to you so my listeners know who you are. And man, she has just an impressive list. I love this. So Naja was born and raised in Memphis, Tennessee, and called Harlem, New York City home since 2007. Yeah. She is the founder of the largest blended family community for millennials, blended and Black. She also runs VIPstepmom.com, a community for stepmothers. As a means to stay close to her comedy writing roots, Naja produces her passion project, Dating Debacles. I love it. Oh my gosh. I have so many things I want to talk about that. She earned an undergraduate degree from the University of Tennessee in Family and Consumer Sciences and went on to attend the University of North Texas, yeah, Dallas, where she worked on an MBA in international business. While in Dallas, Texas, she began her career as a corporate buyer. One day, while gazing out of her cushy office window, she noticed her colleagues, seemingly in a single file line in the same dark suit, walking into a workday of monotony. It was then that she hopped on her glittery broomstick, flew away, and never looked back. If Naja could have one superpower, she would love to be able to teleport. That way she could go have cheese, eggs, bacon, and grits with her grandma in Memphis every morning, go for a midday swim in Antigua, have lunch in Rome and perfect strangers, and be home in time for dinner with her husband in Manhattan. Amazing. Oh.
I gotta update that because my grandma passed in 2020 and I cannot bear to update my bio to say now I would have breakfast with her in heaven, but
But now that you can say that and you can say that you can have breakfast in her memory and remember how special that was.
Absolutely.
Well, Naja, welcome to the show. And man, your bio, you are so impressive.
You had the long version too, Jill. Dang.
Well, I want people to really know, where do I get these people, these amazing people on my background? And I, you know, it's interesting because I did a show a while back about stepmoms. And it is what I would say, the unspoken thing that doesn't get talked a lot about. And is something that I think every stepmom should be considered a hero and should be praised. So the fact that you're doing out the hair doing this as well, I think is pretty amazing, which I kind of want to know, okay, tell me your story then. Tell me why you get to talk about this.
Why the heck? Who qualified me to talk about this? So, hey, everybody, thank you so much, Jill, for having me. And thank you for the illustrious accolades that you talked about. It's almost as if I wrote that myself. So I'm Naja Hall, and I am the founder of Blended in Black and VIP Stepmom. The thing that qualifies me to talk about all things step family, and to be very specific, my focus is high conflict in step families, the ones that we're not going to see on the Christmas cards, the ones that do have the restraining orders, the ones that cannot just get along for the sake of the kids. That's kind of become my specialty because my introduction into a blended family, a step family, I use those interchangeably, was straight up conflict. It was crazy town, and I'm from like peace town. And I personally did not know what I got myself into. I didn't know how to handle it. And I wasn't equipped to deal with high conflict personalities. And not to dehumanize people that have high conflict personalities, but they're a whole different ballgame. And if you're not careful, they can drag you down. They can cause you mental anguish, anxiety, depression, thousands upon thousands of dollars in court costs, and an awful relationship with your children. And me coming into the family, that the ready-made family, as I like to say, Jill, it was costing me all of that stuff. So the thing that qualified me, y'all, is my doggone life, my real life. aside from that, I am a certified family life educator with the National Family Council of Family Relations. I've done my 15,000 hours. I've done my postgraduate work on all of this. I not only live the life, I study the life. I have researched journals about it. I forgot to put in my bio. I just did the Tamron Hall show and the Today show. I've been just about in every national publication that you can think of, talking about something that I never in my life thought would be my claim to fame. I'm not famous, but I didn't think this would be my thing. I was a comedian, y'all. Like, this was not supposed to happen to me, but it literally gobsmacked me. And I've been stuck in helping other people overcome some of these things ever since.
So your personal story, were you married before? Or was this your first marriage?
I married a divorced father.
Okay. A divorced and dad. His divorce was high conflict.
Yeah.
Nasty ex-wife, yeah. Which we've all heard about. And you came in, and how many kids did he have?
He has three amazing young people. And I'll say this, I always like to preface it with saying the best part of my blended family being a stepmom is those kids. They are literally the best part. They've been a blessing, and they've been, you know, their dad is cool, but but you know, the kids are the thing that make it easy and bearable. It's us adults that just can't freaking figure it out.
It's true. So how old were the kids when you came into this situation?
2 and 8.
Oh goodness. Yeah. And then, how long
had the... just went to prom last night. So, you know, I've been here for a while now.
Yeah. So, I mean,
she's not 8 years old going to prom. She's 18, y'all, just in case y'all didn't do the math.
We got that. So, and then how long had he been divorced when you came into the picture?
He was newly divorced.
Okay.
He was newly finished, which now in hindsight, I've had 10 years to think about it. Never, I can tell this to any person out there listening, honey, don't be the guinea pig. Please do not be the first one out the gate. You're like, oh, it's a new divorcee. And to be quite frank, I don't knock divorced men per se, because they're already housebroken. If their money hasn't been ravaged by their previous situation, then they're okay. If they've gone to therapy and done the work, then absolutely. But they are attached to people that are hurt. I came into a ready-made family that was still reeling from the devastation of divorce.
Yeah.
I had high hopes, and I didn't have anybody to tell me, like I'm telling you guys, these people need time and space to sort their things out. Now, as a married woman that's been married for 10 years, I empathize. Truly, I empathize. You know, if my husband now, let's just say, God forbid, we separated and there's some new chick walking around looking like a mix of Beyonce and Naomi Campbell talking about, I'm dating your ex now. His too, if I was an ex-wife. I mean, look at, you know, you don't want to be kind of mad too, Jill.
Oh my gosh. One of the things that is, I see as a divorce attorney is that I get these people that come in and they're like, oh, you know, me and my ex were able to kind of work together and things were really going okay. Not great usually until the paramour comes into the picture, and it could be either side, but men, we'd all know the statistics that they move on quicker and younger, and women take their time a little bit. And most men, their love languages is physical touch, which makes being in a relationship a little bit easier for that. And so they move on for different reasons. And it causes chaos within this now newly formed relationship, which was clearly struggling before the divorce.
And because that's why you're in divorce court in the first place.
Exactly.
Statistics being women typically file and not men. Is that your experience?
Yeah. I mean, the statistics show that women will file. Now, there could be a myriad of reasons behind this. Basically because, you know, women are the get shit done people in the marriages a lot of the time. Women are usually the, you know, the victims of abuse. There's a lot of support for women like that. And then also women tend to make less money And so they're able to get a little bit more help through legal aid or through other processes. So there could be a lot of reasons behind that. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's 50-50, men, women. You know, there's statistics for LGBTQ plus relationships, but that's Absolutely. Still very, very new. So, but yeah, so you get thrown into this chaotic world of Yes. now trying to co-parent with somebody you can't stand or you're hurt or you're, you know, frustrated with, and then you have kids. So Najah, you don't have any kids of your own, or you didn't have
I am a child-free human being.
Okay. And then you get thrown into being a mom.
Stepmom,
which is, so let's talk about that. Like, what's the difference?
It's drastically different. Yeah. If you're like, for example, you're a biological mother. How would you feel if I came in and I'm your kid's stepmom saying, and you heard me on a podcast saying, yeah, I have four kids. And you'd be like, bitch, did you birth? Like, you'd be like, wait a minute now. So I dare not impede on that very coveted territory, motherhood, biological motherhood in our culture as human beings, as earthlings. Every corner of the earth that I can think of is next to patron sainthood. So you have someone that's coming into that territory, a step, a bonus, whatever you want to call yourself. There's already going to be a little bit of chaos and friction. There's already going to be a way that society places you as a person that is impeding on something that is so sacred that does not belong to you. When a lot of us don't want that anyway, we don't want y'all's damn kids. We want our partner, and they just happen to have children with you. And so now we're in the mix, and we want to figure out a way to live our lives as easy and happy as possible. I think a lot of biological mothers may not understand that. In my case, because you asked about my instance specifically, I made sure to stay way away and observe. Because I was like, you know, and to be quite frank, you're a divorce attorney. Everybody's going to say their ex is bipolar. Everybody says their ex is crazy. They're a liar.
Narcissist. Yeah.
They're narcissists. Like, everybody's going to say that. So I was past 30, you know, when I got married, when I met my husband. So I was already hip to the game of what singleness looked like and what men were going to say about their exes. So I kind of just looked and listened. And it was to the point to where I started seeing and experiencing on my own that other situation. I said, okay, all right. But I still didn't know what it would cost. And I still didn't know what I was up against. And this is way before, long before I had met the children. So I don't think I answered your question, but just want to throw
that in. So tell me about that, like getting into this fresh new relationship. I mean, hindsight's 50-50, but let's get back to the actual situation. What is some advice that you could give women that are like getting in these relationships with these guys? What's some tips you'd be like, let me tell you, you know,
can they hear and see me right now? Or is this only audio?
No, they're going to be able to see you. This will be on my YouTube channel.
Okay. So those of you that are watching this, I need you to lean in, and I'm looking in the camera. I'm talking to you right now. Lean in, girls. If they are not the best person that you've ever been with, put on your big girl boots and panties and run. I mean, they challenge you in ways physically, spiritually, financially, intimately, emotionally, that you've never felt and experienced before, and you are growing because of it. They provide for you. They take care of you. They allow you to take care of them. They're searching their soul. They're answering to a higher power. If they're not the best person, whatever you define as the best person that you've been with, please go. Because some of the things that you are going to endure throughout the course of this relationship, especially if they have a high conflict situation or special needs children, or hell, children for that matter. Some of the things that you are going to endure are going to cost you. And you're going to sit down and need to look at yourself and reconcile with yourself and say, you know what? They're worth it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you this. Listen to me. Write down what I just said. Replay it every day. That's the first piece of advice I can give you. Second piece of advice is make sure your expectations align with your reality. I always tell people that, Jill, make sure your expectations align. If your stepchildren are 22 and you've married their father, who is 60 and you are 25, don't expect them to have a maternal bond with you or for that to ever develop. Don't expect that, you know, because that's not how your stuff is set up. So, you know, I just want to make sure we all come into this thing with very realistic, not pessimistic, realistic expectations. That way you're not disappointed and you kind of know how to meander in this very sometimes tricky scenario.
Yeah, absolutely. So how long did it take you? I mean, you said, I love the words that you said, you sat back and you observed. How long did it take you before you kind of realized what your role was, like what you were expected and being able to act upon that?
How long did it take me? I'm not going to say my situation was unique, Jill, to any, you know, I'm not going to say it was unique. I'm special, but there are certain markers that happened to us, to me specifically. And I do think some egregious things happen. I talk about this on my own podcast. I've talked about it all over TV at this point. When I started getting death threats and my parents started getting harassed and things are sprinkled all over my social media, that kind of changed the game for me. And that set a very realistic expectation to say, okay, so I'm dealing with something that I've like a bully. I didn't have bullies as a kid. So I was like, okay, this is an adult bully who is dangerous in my honest opinion, from my experience. And that kind of showed me that it was going to be a little bit more difficult to connect with my stepchildren because I could immediately sense these kids are going to be put in a loyalty bind. And what a loyalty bind is basically when one parent tries to alienate the love, affection, relationship from the other parent because they're mad at them. So I knew if my husband, who was just my boyfriend at the time, was getting this and it was starting to trickle down to me, I knew that my role as a stepmom was going to have to be more of an unconventional one, especially in the beginning, because, you know, children that are put in a situation like that, I mean, that's scary for them. That's scary. And it makes a connection quite difficult. And it was for many, many, many years.
Was the 2-year-old, you know, the easiest, do you feel?
They were all easy because there's something about these children's spirits. That's the only thing that I could say. I mean, my husband and I prayed so much about it. There's something about these children's spirits that to this day, and I told my oldest stepdaughter, she and I were just talking one day. She was sitting on my bed and I was like, dude, I don't know how, because she knows what she's experienced. I know what she's experienced. And I know that there are devices that have been meticulously put in place to make she and I hate one another. This child, nor Miss Naja, is capable of hate. My heart is not capable of carrying such a big, heavy emotion. But that's what I saw it. It was intentionally instilled in this child, but there's something about her spirit that rejected it. And so one day I was talking to her and I was like, dude, I don't know how you like look me in the eye. I mean, you have these long, cool ass conversations just about nothing. And like, I don't know how you do it. And she knew what I meant. She knew what I meant. Because if my mother, me as a 41-year-old person, if my mother had taught me from the time I was 8 to all these years, don't talk to this person. You can't trust them. We hate her. Da 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 da. Would be very skeptic of being near that person, but there's something about these kids' spirit that didn't do it. They were all easy. Has it been difficult to penetrate and connect at times? Hell yeah, it has. Absolutely. But that's the nature of the beast. But one thing I do is eat beast-like cupcakes.
How long did you date your boyfriend before you guys decided to get married?
We got married in 2016, about 2.5 years.
All right. And so you're living through this crazy, which you now tell other people to possibly run from.
Yeah.
What kept you there?
Dude, oh my God. When I say the best person you've ever been with, I give that advice not only from personal experience, but just at this point, I've helped hundreds of thousands of human beings all across the internet. I've helped thousands of couples, and I've been able to literally sit up and see and calculate and do bar graphs to see what's the success rate? Because having a high conflict situation or even having a cool ex or having kids, that means there's going to be an extra level of stress in your relationship. It's just, it's,
yeah,
can't put it any other way. And he was just like the best guy. He was. He, a lot of similarities to my own father. Like, my mom and dad are still married. My husband's parents are still married. So we both grew up seeing these strong Christian, Black, Southern, loyal marriages.
Yeah.
And then he got in one and, you know, kind of, he got in one and he was just blew all that to hell. So he's very similar backgrounds. That's the first thing. Okay. And then, you know, he took amazing care of me. I realized I didn't get married till I was 35. I was like, oh, I need a manny, not a nanny, but a manny. I was like, I don't like doing stuff. Like, I'm a very hard worker. I'm, you know, I'm not the breadwinner or anything, but, you know, he has very traditional values, which is one thing that was important to me. And even if we just get down to semantics, like, he's a father of a set of twins and an older child, me and his oldest daughter, same exact situation, same age difference from our younger twin siblings. We were the golden children. She's the golden child. It's just so many things about him. Amazing things that I saw in my own, that I see in my own dad. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah. And it's interesting because my sister-in-law, she married into a step family, and her husband has two children from two different moms, which dynamic. Yeah. And she's the one who really helps me find people like you, because she, her story alone, I mean, and they've been married now 8 years, and they had two kids of their own, and they're, you know, they're doing so much. But the it's always kind of one of those things, like, when is it worth it? And I agree with you, Naja. It's when you find that guy that really is for you. But I want to talk about where you were at this time, because you had to be in a good space as well for who you were. So talk about that. Do you tell these moms, like, you need to be this, or you need to be
here? Literally nobody's ever asked me that question. That's such a good question. Where was I at the time? That's important. Wow. Wow. Wow.
You were educated.
Yes. So at that point, I had already finished college, grad school, already working. Like,
you were older.
Yes, I was established.
You had probably dated a ton of guys. You're gorgeous.
To be clear, I'm in New York City, y'all. I am in Manhattan. So I was living the single girl, Sex in the City, $25 Cosmo. If I didn't want to cook dinner, then that'd be somebody I can call and take me out on a date. Like, I was that girl. My waistline was a whole lot smaller back then. Like, I was, honey, I was the bomb. I was not dependent on anyone. I had done the therapy. I had done the work. I had a great group, and I still have the same group of core friends. I had a support system. I was, you know, and not saying that, you know, you have to be religious or spiritual, but that was one of the things that was my anchor. So I was very strong in that. So I was already in a place to where I felt sturdy. I didn't need a guy to come in and support me or pay my bills. I didn't need an emotional support animal. I didn't need those things. And so it just so happened. And I had met tons of single dudes with no kids, like, never married, no kids, any of that stuff. So I had gone through the thing, and I do a SWOT analysis on anything. So when I met Tony and like learned his situation, and I like did the SWOT, I was like, okay, can you deal with this? And then I really had to be realistic. Like, you've met dudes with no kids that have literally not been able to be as impactful as this man here. And I just had to be real with myself. And I'm not going to say I made excuses for him. It's like, shit, if I was 20 years old and got married and got knocked up and came out with three babies and it didn't work out, that doesn't mean that I would want to be devalued or off or not a worthy partner. He had to do a whole lot more than other people, though, to win my affections. Because I did discount him on our first date, Jill. When that dude told me, because we met on a dating app. I tell people I ordered him off the internet. We met on a dating app, and he didn't say that he, you know, had children on there. And I was adamant, I won't date people with kids, because I'd heard all about all the baby mama drama and child support. And I heard about all that crap. all the stuff that I deal with now. And I didn't want to deal with it. He told me, first date, we're sitting down having dinner and I'm being all demure and, you know, not putting my elbows on the table and only ordering Prosecco because I wanted him to know Miss Naja is a lady. He told me, he is like, yeah, you know, I do have 3 children. And I was like, shots, please. Jill, I got so drunk. Lil Jon came on the radio and I was like, DJ, turn it up. And so I'm like, yeah. Like I became my real authentic ratchet self. And I was like, I'm not going to be with this guy. He has 3 kids. So let me just have fun. Let me enjoy this free drinks and this dinner. He's driving me home from the date and he looks over at me. I'm thinking he's going to be like, oh, wow, what a wasted chick. He's like, you're so authentic. I'd love to see you again. What? So that's kind of how we came to be. I discounted him and that made me put him in friend zone, Jill. And because of that, I wasn't going, you know, at 31 years old, I think I was at the time, 30, 31, I was looking for a husband, with a capital bond, a husband. And I didn't think he was going to be it. So I relegated him to being friend. And so I would just call him just for little things and he would show up for me. And I think the fact that I had no choice but just to be his friend helped me to see who this person really is. And he's been 100% consistent since 2013.
That's amazing. I actually love this too, because if you think about it, because you didn't think it will go anywhere, it allowed you to put your walls down as well.
Lil Jon and the East Side Boys, honey, let's twerk, let's have fun, let's get drunk. And that was my elbows on the table.
That's the problem with dating now is like so many people, they have their walls up. They don't want to be their authentic self. They don't, you know, and then they judge from the book by the cover. And then it's like, they don't ever really get to the meat to really find. I think that's the challenges with dating. We could probably talk a whole thing about that.
It's a whole nother podcast. And
so what do you think the biggest challenges are that stepmoms face?
The biggest challenges is, Jill, a lot of women shouldn't be stepmoms. Like a whole bunch of women like that get with partners with children, they think they can do it and they will toil themselves. They'll end up on Zoloft. They'll gain stress weight. They will almost face harm because they're in a situation that is not meant for them. And it's okay, but you have to be able to admit that you can't do it. Another challenge is how society looks at us. You know, there's almost a tone of disrespect. You know, if I'm out with my stepkids.
Oh, you're just a stepmom. Yeah.
The cool thing about us is we kind of look alike. But, you know, I have some friends that are in interracial marriages and they look nothing like. You can obviously tell, you know, that this is not their biological child. Mm-hmm. And so there's an air of needing to help the stepmom or tell her what to do. PTA meetings, you'll, you know, be sitting with the biological mothers. They almost look at you as if you were the mistress. It's a thing of fear, though, because right now you're sitting here as a biological mother. Life can happen to any one of us and your children could end up with a stepmom. And, you know, it's like that's something that we shudder to think about. Like nobody wants to think about that. But I'm sure a lot of people in their first marriages never considered that they would end up here. And so just treating us like we are second-class citizens and we're not deserving of respect is a main thing for sure. And also a common misconception is, like I said before, thinking that we want to come in and replace the mother. I zippity-doo-dah promise you we don't. Mm-hmm. Honey, we don't want your kids. Like we want their parent. We don't want them in the way of taking over your role. We want to, personally, I can speak. We want to be able to love them. We want to be able to form our own genuine connection with them, whatever that may be, and in uninterrupted one. But we don't want to come in and usurp or undermine the role, because if they have 2 well, whole, active parents, our job is kind of easy. We don't have to do that. And a lot of us don't want to do that.
Yeah. So let's talk 10 years later, since you first met your husband now, has the relationship with the ex changed? Has it gotten better?
Yes, it has gotten exponentially better. We have a restraining order, so no more phone calls, no more stuff on social media. It's quiet, no more crazy town. Yeah, Jill, it's gotten a whole lot better.
Okay, so let's talk about that. It wasn't going to get better.
You had to take her to court. For obvious reasons. You're a lawyer.
Right.
Right.
It wasn't going to get better. So what advice can you give to these stepmoms that are going through some of this crazy town or the same types of things that you went through?
Girl, so listen, if you are going through a situation, like first, is your partner's ex, the children's mother, is she really high conflict or do you guys just not like each other? Because there's a big difference. One thing that I notice is, and I'm sorry, stepmoms, y'all, listen, a lot of stepmoms do like to play victim. I'm the victim. I'm the one that's hurt the most. And like, dude, no, you're not. So first, let's kind of hop off our victim horses. You're not a victim. You do choose to be here with your partner. No, we didn't sign up for any of the craziness. I sure as heck didn't sign up for any of this stuff. Here we are, though. I make the conscious decision to stay. And so I am responsible for making the conscious decision to be better and to block the things, places, people, energies that decrease the quality of my life. I've had to take those steps to do that. So it's your responsibility, stepmom, to do that. If you have a partner that sets poor boundaries or that can't set boundaries with their children's mother, you have a whole nother heap of problems. I don't support, and I kind of like, unless your partner's willing to get some serious help to get themselves checked out. By the way, Jill, I'm throwing this out there. I said it on TikTok, on my TikTok page the other day, the VIP Stepmom TikTok. I have noticed a correlation between gentlemen that are getting diagnosed with ADHD and the ones whose partners, whose the stepmoms are complaining that they set poor boundaries. So get your man checked out. If he cannot set boundaries with this person, get him checked out. Make sure he's okay on that end. And if he can't protect your household, then are you sure this is somewhere that you want to be? I don't advocate for stepmoms taking or any person taking abuse in the form of them not being protected. There's a few more, Jill, but you know, I want you to hop.
I mean, I think definitely, I love what you said and I want to touch on it. Like having a thick skin, basically, like you have to be prepared and come with your eyes wide open. Like it's not easy. You're going to be, you know, told that you're less than, and you're going to, you know, have these opportunities where people are going to, you're going to get stones thrown at you. And if you don't have a thick skin and a complete understanding of who you are, it's going to continually hurt. The second thing is making sure, just like you said, like the husband, your new husband, needs to be able to understand that there has to be boundaries. You get a lot of these guys, or it could go both ways, that, you know, they're not the high conflict, so they don't want the conflict. So they'd rather just kind of shy away from it. Right. And when you have those guys as the stepmom, then that really affects you. Because just like Najee, your situation with the, you know, if you don't have somebody that's able to create those boundaries, because you as the stepmom don't get to do that, you don't get to say in that, that's going to be really, really hard.
It's tough. It's kind of like, think about you. You've built this beautiful house, you and your husband, Jill. Like it's a 7,000 square foot home. It's your dream home. You got a great deal on it. The land is perfect. Foundation is beautiful. But they didn't put the damn roof on the house. The house has no roof. So when it rains, when it storms, all you're exposed to all of these elements. That's what I feel like it's like when you're with a partner that can't set boundaries. Yeah, you have this kind of sturdy foundation, but you're susceptible to anything that anybody wants to do with them. And they might not be able to set boundaries because they're tied up in dad guilt. And dad guilt is a serious thing. These men feel awful. And I know we're speaking a lot to the heteronormative lifestyle on this particular podcast. I hate to not be inclusive. But you know, like when I, hopefully those of you that are LGBT qua, you understand that I'm only showing love, but you know, it's like you're not being protected and you're exposed to whatever another person wants to do. If they want to come piss in your house, they can come and pop a squat and do it. And your partner, because they, well, adamantly avoid conflict. They'll even start conflict with you just to avoid it with their children's mother. Look at what that's going to do to you and your relationship. Yeah. I've yet to learn how to help a stepmom accept and tolerate and develop a thick skin for that type of disrespect. I won't do it. That's just not part of the services that I even offer.
What have you and your husband done in the last 10 years to strengthen your relationship, to ensure that you're on the same page and that you guys are doing, you know, you guys are okay in your relationship to be able to tackle this?
Yeah. Outside of normal marriage stuff, you know, you go to marriage counseling, you pray together, you work out together, you have tons of sex. Like, aside from that, this other caveat does mean that we have to do a little bit of extra work. There have been times, Jill, where I felt so isolated from anything that was happening in my blended family. I've had to ask my husband, like, hey, could you not tell me as much, you know, that's happening with the kids now? Because, you know, oh, so-and-so won this track meet or so-and-so did this. Well, if I've been asked not to come, if the child is, you know, you can hear a child being prompted by a parent in the background. Hey, I just think it's best that you not come. Like, it's hurtful. That stuff hurts. And so there have been times when I've specifically asked him to shield me from even from some happy moments, because my heart couldn't take it.
Right.
So I've had to put those types of boundaries in place. I have had to ask him to take conversations in spaces where I couldn't hear them. There's been plenty of times because we live in New York and they live in a different city. There's been times where I'm just like, hey, you go and see the kids, you know, go for your every other weekend visit without me. And just to give them time to be together, that gives me time to kind of regroup and honor myself and my space and still who I am. Because, you know, as a stepmom dealing with situations like this, you've got to be really grounded and you have to have a life. You can't be just waiting on your husband or your partner to give you sustenance. You got to have your own stuff going on or else you're going to sink.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the other thing is like, what would you encourage stepmoms in their relationship? Like when the kids are away at the other parent's house, like what are some tips or things that you suggest they do to ensure that their relationship is thriving and strong? Cause I tell you, I mean, I just look at my sister-in-law's situation. I'm like, man, they have been through some hell. And if their relationship wasn't in a better place, I don't think it would have made anything worth it.
You know, the statistics, they're debatable at this point, but for a very, very long time, the past maybe 10, 15 years, the statistic was the failure rate for first marriage is 50%, but the failure rate for second marriage is around 67%. Yeah. And it's because a lot of these second marriages are riddled with children and debt and conflict from a previous life that this person had. So, you know, it's something to think about for sure. Yeah. What was the question that you asked me that I forgot?
It's just what would be some tips that you would say to these stepmoms to help ensure that their relationship is firmly planted?
Yes. If you truly like your partner, I mean, like them. Yeah, you love them. But if you truly like them, then be intentional about reminding them of that. You know, you respect the parent that they are. They're a provider, but you truly like them. Also, as a step parent who's a non-custodial step parent, because there's a lot of step parents whose stepchildren live with them and they have the 100% responsibility of caring for them. But if you are a non-custodial step parent, you do have the privilege of being able to step up. But honey, you can step out and step away. And so when those children are away, just like parents, biological parents do, and a lot of step families do have hours babies now, as we call them. But when you have time away from the kids, you can make it a rule to say, we're not going to usurp this conversation with talking about the kids. As a divorce attorney, you doing your job, Jill. As a blended family coach, me doing my job. I have seen 100% of the relationship focused marriages work, but I'm sure you have seen 100% of the child centered divorces work. They're easy because they're focused on these kids. So if you want to focus on your marriage or your divorce, if you want to focus on your marriage, then that has to be your focal point. Yeah, the kids are cool. You're going to leave the house one day. Like, okay, yeah. But, you know, at this point, focus on your relationship and keep that at the center. When you're, and I'll say this, stepmoms, stepparents, especially, when you find yourself prompted to obsess or go look at that other person's social media or wonder what they said on the phone call, or you need to be on the three-way end of every phone call, honey, step out of that. That is not, you don't have to do that. That's something that will save a whole bunch of relationships too, Jill.
So what's your opinion on the controversial of what the kids call you?
My opinion is develop your own relationship with these children if you have that ability. In some cases, it's always a formality. And I'm from the South, and we put Miss or Mister in front of every adult's name. Like, I would not dare call my mom's friend by their first name. And I'm an adult now. I always say Miss Lisa, Miss Jill. I still do that. So if you're a person that subscribes to those types of formalities, cool, you can do that. I have seen online, especially, a lot of stepmoms that have come into the picture and they have very young stepchildren. Let's say they're 1.5, 2 years old, and stepmom has a baby. And then this baby starts calling her mama. And so the stepchild is starting to see, okay, she's mama here in this house. A lot of stepchildren will start calling this woman mama just because, okay, she is the woman that takes care of me. I get it. And that can be cool, unless it's interrupted by the other household or the other household has feelings about that. If that's the way your family is set up, that's amazing. Yeah. I don't believe that stepmoms should come in and imposing mother names on these children. As a matter of fact, I feel like any stepmom should come in being that cool auntie. We all had that one cool aunt, right? Maybe we all did. I know I did. You probably, see, you're smiling, so you did too. You know, just come in being that cool auntie. She's an aspirational figure. You respect her, but she doesn't necessarily have to discipline you. You trust her as a friend. Be that. If all else fails and you don't know what to be like her. But as far as enforcing children to call you any sort of maternal name, I kind of think that's so not cool. I think that's really crappy. And I think it's super corny. So please don't do that.
Okay. So last question, what do you think is the biggest advice that you give your stepmoms?
Biggest piece of advice that I can give you: find your own circle, love yourself the most, invest in yourself, make sure that you stay centered and don't fall victim to the chaos that's happening around you. There could be a tornado happening around me, y'all, and I'm just going to make sure my edges are firmly pressed and my lipstick isn't smeared. So make sure to center yourself in a world that tells women especially that we are to focus on the families and take care of our husbands and our children and do all, like, please start to center yourself. You will thank me later for it.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Okay, Naja, where can everybody find you?
Look, y'all, I created one set website for everything because I have a whole bunch of websites now, but you can just go to najahall.com and that will take you to everything I do. That'll take you to my stepmom page. I just started a beauty company. That'll take you there. That'll take you to my work and comedy that I've, it'll take you to all of my stuff. So I have very easy avenues. Just visit najahall.com and it's super easy to navigate.
I love it. I always say that the best coaches, the best people out here talking about stuff like this are the ones that have lived through it. So the fact that you've lived through it, I say the same thing as a divorce attorney. And then my husband telling me he wanted to divorce me when we were married only 4 years. You know, really helped me put in perspective of what it means to get divorced and the way that behaviors and the way that you can get through it. So I love it, Naja. Keep it.
Thank you.
You keep it real and you really, you are helping so many people. I know it.
Thank you so much for having me. And don't you forget to call me when you come to New York City.
Done. I love it. That's another episode of No One Dies from Divorce. Catch us next week. Thanks, Naja. Thank you for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed, please subscribe, follow, and share. I'd love to hear your questions and feedback. You can contact me at community@jillcoyle.com. See you next time.
I am an attorney, but I am not your attorney. Any advice given on the podcast is general and shall not be construed as legal advice. For listening to this episode, if you enjoyed, please subscribe, follow, and share. I'd love to hear your questions and feedback. You can contact me at community@jillcoyle.com. See you next time. I am an attorney, but I am not your attorney. Any advice given on the podcast is general and shall not be construed as legal advice.